Welcome to Season 2, Episode 1, Automate Your Emails. We're going to talk about why you need a newsletter, why you need to capture people's emails when they're contacting you either through your website, through your social media, and what that means for you monetarily. And so I have two great guests here with me. I have Cliff Paul with Chicago Stats League and Eric with Young Ballers TV. So go ahead and introduce yourself, guys.
Well, how are you guys doing today? I'm Cliff with the Chicago Stats League. I also am a basketball savant, so if that company doesn't make sense, then I do a lot of basketball coaching as well. Just here to, you know, make the athlete experience better, whether it comes to the leagues they play in, the coaching they're receiving, or, you know, the data that they're actually accumulating when they do play basketball.
All right, and I'm Eric with Young Ballers TV. We create highlight tapes for middle school and high school basketball players, and also mentor them and, you know, just help provide leadership throughout the community through basketball.
Awesome. So I want to talk about LeVar Ball. I am in love with his TV show that's on Facebook, Ball in the Family. I watch it every Sunday like clockwork. And I think that he is doing some great things, but I really want to know your thoughts on what you think LeVar is and people like LeVar. Like when I first thought of LeVar, I'm like, you know what? If I have an athlete, he's going to be selling stuff as soon as he's a breakout. Eighth grade, we can at least be selling shirts. You can be selling some like wristlets and things like that. I think that before we thought, especially in the Black community, that we got to wait until we're pro to start making shoe deals and making money. But in reality, your baby may not make pro, but he has a following now. Like think of if Derrick Rose would have started selling stuff when he went to state. He had the whole city behind him. I was in the suburbs, not even a city school, and we were all cheering and stuff. I would have bought a shirt back then, especially at that point because I didn't have to have a job. That was my parents was fronting the bill. Like I would have bought a couple things, but we weren't even thinking that. And then he made it to the league, and although he had an so-so career, like I'm sure where he's at is not where he thought he was going to be, but think about he could have came into it with hundreds of thousands of dollars already. And think about our college people that didn't make it, that were really, really great, right? I always think of the Dee Browns and the Juice Williams of the world. Like, if they were selling stuff in high school and then their parents took over because they couldn't, quote unquote, have a business while they're in school, they could have graduated with $50,000 in the bank. So that's the first thing I thought. That's why I love LeVar. I'm like, he's really changing the game as far as, you know, making money and using your child where he's at. What are your thoughts?
I agree completely. I mean, I think LeVar is changing the game and it's happened kind of fast. And, you know, especially having your own brand, and it's a phenomenal name, Big Baller Brand. I mean, it worked perfectly with his name, but I think, he's definitely doing what people wanted to do, but were maybe scared to. Maybe they thought the Nikes of the world and the Adidas wouldn't let them do it. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most part, LeVar is definitely opening people's eyes that you can have your own brand and your own market before you are paid by somebody to do your sport.
True.
I'm in agreement with the idea of owning a brand. However, as far as the JBA league, after really thinking about it, I'm not sure it's the best idea for the kids. I feel like a lot of them are sacrificing their education, a chance to get a full college scholarship to play in this league. And I understand the league is for kids that are like top prospects, but I just don't see, like this year, for example, I see the top prospects going to colleges. The only top prospect playing in that league is his son. Mm-hmm. So I just question, like, it's like lower level players that I don't see going to the NBA anyway. Plus, the mm-hmm. NBA is starting the one and done rule.
They're about to change it, yeah.
So it's about to change it. So I think that was the biggest thing that LeVar did, was force them to change that rule.
I agree 100%. I was going to ask you, do you think that because of LeVar's league, change the NBA's thing?
I think so.
So yeah. As a devil advocate, I think that because the NBA made a move, because LeVar made a move, I think the long-term goal of the JBA is actually a good move, because college isn't for everybody. You got mm-hmm. guys like Ben Simmons, that are going for a year. They're not really trying to go to class. They're just trying to make the league. But yeah, they're not going to get the top athletes right away. But I do think there is a lane for guys that don't want to go to class, that want to just do basketball. Even if you don't go to the league, you can go overseas after a JBA, putting some game film out there. But no, I do agree that LeVar's antics and message might not always be there. And, you know, the way the league is set up currently might not be, you know, ideal. But once the league rules change and once people see, okay, what's going to happen to college after NBA changes the rule, then it's going to be a trickle-down effect, and I think it's going to be like a Wild West almost. Mm-hmm.
So what is the rule now? The new rule is that they're changing it from you can't do one and done to what?
I don't think it's been announced yet.
They're still thinking about it. Okay. You can go straight to the NBA from high school.
Well, they're about to bring that back.
Yeah.
Okay. LeVar. So that was a cause and effect. I mean, if that's what it was, at the end of the day, his main thing was play the kids.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So now you're going to allow them to get paid.
And I think at the same time, the NCAA is now talking about, man, we got to fix our system because either the kids are going to go to the G League, they might go to LeVar's League, but we're not paying the kids. And everybody's now saying, hey, you know, college kids, this is, you know, we got the slavery comments coming out.
I was going to say, well, they referred to us as slaves. So it was kind of like, we got to make a move that's not okay.
But I just feel like college is the right place for most of these players because the pros, even overseas, isn't for everybody.
I think it's the right place if you're actually going to graduate, but for the one and done's, like, what are you doing with general education? I think, and that's another issue that I have with the colleges. They put so much pressure on these kids that they're not allowing them to have money making degrees. That's my whole thing. No. I feel like Black people specifically, it's not our goal to save the world. Like, they're pushing communications and social work. Those degrees don't really pay a lot unless you luck up. I think that we need to focus on being engineers, accountants, things that make money, because we need to catch up. So, and generational wealth is the way to go. So if you're not making money, because what can you do with $40,000 forever? You know what I mean? Or I have to get a master's to make that. And that's with social work. So that's my thing. I feel like, no disrespect to the social workers or anything like that, I just think that we need to educate our kids on what actually makes money.
Right.
And how to move yourself and your whole family to the next generation. Especially, you know, I don't want it to be like, well, if I don't do basketball and make it, then I don't have anything. I'm over here trying to make $30,000, $40,000. That's a big gap in disappointment. And I see a lot of people not able to really bounce back when they don't make it. Mm-hmm. Like, their whole life is just kind of depression. I don't know if you guys can speak on that.
Yeah, like, it's called the, I know a guy, he called, you know, Lefty Boy.
Oh, yeah.
He called it the career reaper. It's like a deep depression that these boys go into after they don't make it. And they just really genuinely believe that they would make it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a tough reality check.
Yeah. You know? So we really need to talk about that and the degrees that they need to be able to make. I feel like if you're not paying them, they should be able to go to school at whatever college for advanced degrees. Like, I don't think it should stop. I don't understand what's going on. But if you're being paid, then you already are leaving college with a nest egg to invest or make your business or whatever. But right now it's like, okay, I went to school for free, but I still don't have the tools I need to have a career.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I feel like it's because it's a lot of our Black boys are intimidated by the classroom. Our boys is trying to just do their minimal work so they can get by and be eligible to play.
Yep. And that's what happens when we have I only have one goal and we only talk about plan A and not plan B. You know, it's cool to talk about that when you're being motivational. Well, this is my goal, but you need to be realistic, especially, you know, you got a whole lot to live between 20 and retirement. You know, it's a lot of years up in here that you got to figure it out.
And speaking on what you're saying, and speaking on what you said earlier about the school system, they're not even trying to educate the athletes. They're like, hey, go to, you know, this class so you can
do
get
sports
an A.
Tourism.
Right. Get an A, please, so you can play. But right. I think to that end, I think a lot of people do have to be realistic. And I think LeVar is opening up lanes, which people need to see. There are a lot of lanes in basketball. You bring up Lefty. He ref some games that I coached this weekend. I didn't play in college, but, you know, the networks and the things I got from basketball. Now, my brother made it to the NBA. and you have different levels of what you can do with basketball, from coaching to, you know, even, you know, you start your own lane with your own business, you know. So I think if people are more realistic about what basketball can offer besides being a pro, it's X amount of high school players. That gets diminished to 99%. Now it's this many college players.
Like,
that gets diminished to X
point
amount.
0.0001.
Yeah. So whether you're a pro, Euro, or NBA, you know, that's very hard to do. But if you're, if you love the sport of basketball, you can find a way to make a good living. Mm-hmm. But you have to be realistic about your prospects and what you bring to the table.
So let's talk about, you know, your brother's journey to the league, because he's one of those that didn't make it straight out but still made it. And so I think that that's something that needs to be touched on. We really don't hear, like, what happens when you don't make it straight out of college. It's pretty much, okay, you didn't make it, and that's it. And he's one of those that didn't give up. So let's talk about that.
You know, full disclosure, come out of a two-family, you know, two-parent household. So my parents were able to support him during these times when he wasn't making it, and, you know, and me and my other brother as well. But, you know, he didn't get drafted after having a draft party, you know, disappointed, you know. But then, you know, he gets a call. Now he's got to play in the G League. Now after that, you go play in the Summer League. He got a call. He goes to Russia. You know, Russia is a culture shock completely. He doesn't really like the people there. They don't really like him. Comes back home after maybe 75% of the season. Goes to Spain. Loves it there. Finds a new passion for basketball. He realizes, man, you know what? I love basketball. If I don't make it to the NBA, then, you know, they love me out here. I'm making good money. This is a good life. Gets a good contract in Turkey. You know, I get to visit him in Barcelona and Istanbul. Wow. Greatest trips of my life. But thank you, Brandon, for that. He kept grinding, and, you know, he realized, you know, if I don't make it to the NBA, I'm still making good money, and I'm in, you know, a good situation. But kept working, and, you know, got found by one of the best organizations. Shout out Greg Popovich and the Spurs. And, you know, it's a tough journey. But, you know, speaking of your part, a lot of people don't have that support where he can come home every summer and, you know, relax and work out and, you know, gather himself, looking for the next opportunity. He's not, you know, not no place to live. You know, he's got somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. So it's a, you know, a tough road, but at the same time, you know, he definitely earned it.
That's awesome. Okay, cool. So for people listening that either are in college and it's not looking so good for the league, or looking for other options, can you guys touch on, like, what can you do that's still sports related? Like, what are the options? Because I feel like I personally don't know, besides maybe working for the leagues, NBA, NFL, on the, like, administrative side or the team side. But what does that really look like, and how do people get those jobs?
I think basketball in the last 5 to 10 years is one of the biggest industries, you know, in the world. You know, it's growing like wildfire. So you can coach and train youth, or, you know, people that are in high school and college. That's a good avenue. You can do things from the refereeing and the administrative side of the tournaments and the leagues. It's a lot of opportunities that might not be something that you know about. So, you know, you just have to make the networks into basketball and meet the people.
Cool.
Yeah, because your knowledge of the game will push you forward. Just understanding the game of basketball. Like, I played varsity basketball in high school. My career didn't turn out how I wanted it to, but I started a real cool business, and my knowledge of the game is what really just pushes my whole business, because I got such a thorough understanding of the game. So it's a lot of different stuff, like just media alone, photography and videos and stuff, writing, sports journalists. It's all kind of stuff to get into, you know, beyond just playing.
Okay. And I think that that's something that we need to get into. So if you're listening, I think that now you need to take control of your brand. I think that one of the great things that LeVar's kids did was make a brand for themselves. So people were all like, is that ZO2s? Are they going to sell out? Are they yes or no? Well, by the time that the ZO2s were about to release, before he even went pro, like, he already had 40,000 likes, right? If he only had 10% of those people actually buying, he was going to be good. But then because of the media whirlwind that happened afterwards, I think LeBron bought a pair. Like, all these heavy hitters bought it and allowed the shoes to sell out in, I think, 2 hours. So that was like $2 million in like 2 hours. Boom. But it's because those boys, if you look at their social media, it was great. It was consistent. The picture quality was amazing. And they had been growing. And they had started again when they were in high school. You can tell that they had like a Chino Heels. All those people were following. And they took their brand just a little bit more serious than I think the average basketball mom and dad does for their kids. And it turned out great for them. So right now, it came out that LiAngelo did not get invited to the NBA Combine. But a lot of people are arguing, like, if he gets invited, if he doesn't, he may still get drafted, or still his career is not over just because of how popular he is. He may sell tickets. He will people will come. People will buy stuff. People will buy jerseys and merchandise. And I think that we need to realize that that is actually part of your brand and your stock now. It may not be the most talented, but are you the most popular? So that's something that I think everybody can start looking at now. And everybody can think, what is my child, if you're a parent, what is my child's brand? How do I want to grow them? What do I want them to be? And if you're a kid, be a kid. If you want to talk about maybe having a sports blog and you're blogging maybe one game a week, go ahead. You never know where that may come from. Because think about it. As soon as you get over 5,000 likes, you can become an influencer. You can have, Kanye has a shoe deal with a sports brand and he's not a sports person. So really anything is possible. Now, I mean, Kanye, let me not stop. He definitely had his own career, but there are just ways that you can go up there. I think that, who was it? Was it Kylie that had a sports shoe deal that was coming out or something like that? I know Solange, she was the creative director for Puma. It's just a lot of people that are not professional athletes that still are able, because they have a brand and they have massaged and grown and paid attention to their following, and their following is taking them away from what where they were originally at. And that is something that we can all do. So what I want to talk to you now is the teaching portion of having a newsletter and why you need to have one. So having a newsletter is a way for people to follow your brand and your journey as you grow without you having to massage it too much. Think about it. Macy's will send you stuff and they'll let you know when they're having a family and friends day. They'll let you know coupons and things like that without being too invasive, because they know you're going to buy. You don't have to buy every time, but if you buy that one time, it was worth it sending those emails. Think about that for your brand. You can let people know where you're going to be this week, or where you're going to be upcoming, or what did you do last month or last year? How far have you gone? Do you have an event coming up? Do you have a partnership? People want to know if you got married, if you're having a baby. They care about that stuff, and they feel if you're getting the insider scoop, that they will feel a little bit more special than anybody else. Thinking about the Beehive. The Beehive is real. Like, it's a real newsletter. You get exclusive, first able to buy tickets, exclusive items, all types of stuff. And it's because Beyonce knew that, okay, I have this following on social media. I have people that like me, but I have another group that wants more of me, and I'm going to give them exactly what they want. And so you can do that. And what I suggest everybody starting with is MailChimp. Why do I suggest MailChimp? Because it's free. And as you're growing your brand, I don't believe in spending money on stuff if you're not bringing money in. So MailChimp is free for the first 2,000 subscribers. And then once you get to 2,000 subscribers, you can then start looking at what are the paid options. But by that time, you have your letters in order and you're ready to go. You already know when you're sending stuff out. What does your template look like? What is your flow? How are people clicking? What is the percentage? How are you sending emails, and do you have clickbaity titles and things like that? But to start out, I think that you start free and you grow. And you grow by having people opt in and sign up without being forced. A lot of times people like to start their newsletter by implementing everybody from their past email address. And that's fine if you want to, but nine times out of 10, the people that are really going to be rocking with you are people that don't know you from Adam and are perfect strangers and like you just because of your brand. And so you really want to cultivate those people, because ultimately, when it's time for you to release your brand, your product, your sponsorship, or your event, you want people to show up and not just like a post because they like you or they're nosy or they knew you from way back when then. So what I have going on for you guys for this season is an automation course. So it is an 8-day course where we talk about why a newsletter, how to sign up, how to create a freebie, how to create your online course, and ultimately make your site a lead generating site where people are able to opt in and connect with you. So if this is something that you want, we would love to have you. We will have the link in the description. But if you go to Above Average University Teachable, it will pop up and you can look at that course. Again, that's called Automate Your Emails. I also want to mention that we have a membership program going on for the Above Average Crew. And that is for anybody that has a brand, but they just need a little bit more one-on-one attention than the online courses and this podcast. So we are here to help you for that. And you can just go ahead to the averageblackgirl.com site and hit the membership tab, and we will get you started there. So now I want to get back to what you guys are doing right now in your brand for the athletes. So if you guys can, you know, give a little bit about what you're doing, what you guys have coming up, and how people can get in contact with you and or support your brand and your movement, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, so with Chicago Stats League, I'm kind of trying to do what LeVar is doing by giving everybody their own brand and profile, and I just started getting the youth basketball and other sports where kids not only are playing in these leagues, but their stats and their performances tied to their profile. So at some point when we grow and when they play other elite athletes at their level, recruiters and even friends and family can go and check their website, their stats and their profile, and it's pretty much an ESPN.com for, you know, your local amateur athlete. And, you know, we're growing and we've got some big stuff in the future. So if you want to check us out at ChicagoStatsLeague.com, we're on Twitter, Shy Stats League. We're on Instagram at Chicago Stats League. And you can look at our Facebook for our new summer leagues that are going to be both for the youth and for men and co-ed. So we got it all for everybody. So check out the Facebook, which is Chicago Stats League as well.
Young Ballers TV, like I said, is a highlight tape company. The kids use it to get looks by colleges, you know, and just also promote themselves amongst their peers, you know, recognition. My goal is similar, actually, to yours in a sense, as far as I want to start a social media platform. I noticed that there aren't any, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think there are any Black-owned social media nothing. You know, we got like the Black dating sites. That's about it. So I would like to create something, because I know that I can get the kids to sign up, you know, thousands of kids to sign up quick. So I just been looking into that. That's one of my long-term goals, is to start a whole, you know, where the kids have a profile where they can upload their highlights and they clips and get a chance to get exposure and stuff. College scouts are on there, you know, different stuff of that nature. So, oh, and you can find us on Young Ballers TV. That's Ballers with a Z, not a S. Young Ballers TV on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, youngballerstv.com, and YouTube.
YouTube Young Ballers TV.
Yep.
We'll definitely get together on that after this podcast, man.
Yes. So stay tuned. We have a Young Ballers TV in Chicago Stats. I will let you guys know when the combined event is for this summer. Coming soon, 2018. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. I really enjoyed you guys. You guys really put into perspective for the athletes. I hope that anybody listening has started just the wheels turning on what your career can be. Like, the social media is not fair. And I just want you guys to know that we can all be the influencers of our life. If there's somebody, a brand or a person, and you're like, man, I really want to do that, we can do that. There are ways that we can get sponsors at any level, and we can have partnerships and things like that. I just want people to know that if your child has a following, or if you have a following, that following is real people with real jobs, with real money, and there is value in that. And I think that we all need to start taking our social media a little bit more seriously, because especially in America, Black culture sets so many trends, and a lot of times we don't make that money for it. So I just want people to start thinking that your social media has a value to it. You may think it does or it doesn't, but Facebook has already put a value to it. I want you to put a value to your brand as well. And, you know, by the end of this season, I hope that everybody has one thought of who are their partnerships that they potentially can be. Make a list and figure that out, and are following me. Like, let's have this newsletter already up and running. Next time we're going to talk about freebies and what you can do to help draw people in to give you that newsletter, because we're selfish and we don't like doing anything for free without a value. So I'm going to talk all about the freebie and what you can do at the next episode. All right, guys. So you can reach me at averageblackgirl.com, on Instagram and Facebook at averageblackgirl. On Twitter, you can find me at avgblackgirl. And on Pinterest, you can find me at ablackgirl2015. I will talk to you soon. Bye.